morning, Sunrise Community Church. My name is Jen Cole, and I'm the women's pastor here at Sunrise. What a joy it is to welcome you here this morning. An even greater joy is that we have two groups worshiping together this morning, one online and one right outside in our front lawn. So wherever you may be, we are so happy that you're with us, just worshiping and fellowshipping together in the name of Jesus. There's a few exciting things going on here at Sunrise this week. First up, tomorrow, Monday at 2 p.m., is our weekly Women's Ministry Connect Zoom calls. This is a time where we just take an hour to get together, share how life is going with one another, pray over one another, and encourage each other. If you haven't yet received that information on those weekly Zoom calls, I encourage you to reach out to Tammy Lynch at TammyL@scconline.cc. As always, the Luke Miller podcast gets downloaded onto our website at 2 p.m. on Thursdays. So come and check it out and be encouraged by listening to that. At this time, we are going to be providing our tithes and offerings back to our Lord. There are three different ways that you could give to Sunrise. One being mailing your check to the church. Second, giving online at sunrise.church. Third, you can text in your offering following the instructions on the screen. I would now like to ask you to bow your heads with me so we can thank our Lord Jesus Christ for this time of community and fellowship with one another. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have plans for us that are for our good and for your glory. You said give, and it will be given to you, for in the same measure as you give, it will be given to you again. We give to you today as a response to your goodness to us. We ask, dear God, that you receive our offerings and continue to supply all of our needs. May your peace be in our hearts, your grace be in our words, your love in our hands, and your joy in our souls forevermore. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Now please join us as we worship our Lord together.
I can see the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds, they try to shake me. I will not be moved. My feet are on the rock. I can feel the waters rise. I can hear the howling lies that haunt me. Fear won't hold me now. My feet are on the rock. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come.
Stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock. Let the waters come and the earth give way. I'll be
Morning sunrise and welcome back, or welcome if you are joining us for the very first time online, in person, wherever you may be. We're glad that you're able to join us. My name is Luke. I'm one of the pastors here at Sunrise, and we are starting a new series. I'm very excited about that this morning as we finished Haggai, and now we're moving into this next series, which focuses on promises. And there's a method to the madness in this. If we go all the way back to February, we had taken a look at a series called God in Control, which in many ways laid the foundations for the story of Haggai, of people returning and restarting in their life in Israel and in Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple, and them having to come to grips with the fact that God is in control even in the chaos. And the story of Haggai and the message of Haggai is really meant to be that some of this very pivotal moments in a restart process. And I know we get this restart process. Now, we jump into promises because the very last chapter of Haggai is one where Haggai is promising Zerubbabel that he will be with him, that all the promises that God has made before have come true. God doesn't break his word. Yet there's this encouragement for Zerubbabel. And I thought, what better time for us to just continue right through, and even though we've run out of chapters in Haggai, start taking a look at the promises of God. Looking at the foundations for where we can go and what we know about who Jesus is, about who God is, about what he's promised us, what the future will look like, what has happened in the past and what's happened currently. I think it'll be a very relevant series, and I am very excited for it. Today we are taking a look at God's promises and just a very broad view of it. I want us to build this foundation for where we go next. We're going to look at God's promise of peace, of Jesus coming again, of eternal life, and all of these things. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself before we take a look at the foundations of promises. What are they? What do they look like, especially when they come from God? And we might just find out what they should look like when they come from us. So this morning, or this afternoon, or this week, whenever you're watching this, my hope is that we're able to really go with this statement and really this thesis going forward that in a world of broken promises, God can be counted on. And that's our hope and our prayer and our message, even during uncertain times. I think it's important for us to take a few moments and understand what promises are and what promises aren't. For example, if it's about to be bedtime and my kids come to me and they say, "We want a snack. We didn't have a bedtime snack." And I say, "Well, there isn't a bedtime snack tonight." And then almost immediately, the next statement is, "But you promised there would be a snack." No, I didn't. You just assumed that there would be a snack every night, but that doesn't mean that there is a snack every night. And I certainly didn't wake up this morning and say, hey guys, I promise there's a snack tonight, right? That's not how it works. Yet often we read what we want into a promise. And we'll talk about a few different ways in which this is done and a few different ways in which we can misinterpret promises as well. And here are some things that we can touch on. And the first one is we need to put promises in their context to get their full meaning. And we'll, as we look at some examples of this, one of the most popular promises is found in Hebrews 13:5. "I will never leave you, never will I forsake you." It's a very comforting passage. But quite seldom do we actually read the first part of that verse as well, which is, "Keep your lives free from love of money and be content with what you have because God has said, I will never leave you, never will I forsake you." Right? There's actually instruction in this promise. Because the promise of God's presence, we can live free from money and become more content with what we have. Now that's a promise that we need. See how we can easily shape it into one thing that we want rather than taking a look at the true context of it. This promise is all about God's presence, but also about taking worry away, which is also a key component. The other, another one is to be careful about claiming somebody else's promise. A very good example of this is Jeremiah 29:11, one that we've heard. If you've been at graduations, you've probably heard a great passage for this, which is, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now, that is a great passage, and it absolutely applies to us. But like the first one, we have to understand the context that is there, and then understand the instruction that God is giving to the people of Israel at that time. If we go back to verses 1 through 3, where we see that the actual sentence from the letter is sent to the Jewish exiles living in Babylon. So they're in exile. They're going through turmoil. And verses 4 through 9 tell the people to build houses, settle down, increase in number, seek peace, seek prosperity in the city where they are, that they have, that God has carried them into exile. While we hear the "for I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord part of the verse, often we forget about the very beginning where it's telling us to look around us, settle in our neighborhoods, dwell where we are, pray for peace of wherever we are, no matter how unpeaceful it seems. Pray for prosperity of the city where you're in. It goes further, it tells them to settle down and make houses and build houses and have families. Because God is there. Because he knows the plans he has for them. That passage that we often hear in 29:11 is actually reverberating what has happened earlier on when God gives instruction. So we have to be very careful that we understand the context and that we don't lay claim to somebody else's promises as well. In verse 10, we hear the promise, "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to you to bring you back to this place." So here's the promise that we actually see in Jeremiah 29, and the promise is after 70 years. 70 years of them obeying, God will bring them back. The promise is actually even more powerful when we realize the people it was first dedicated to and directed to and the problems that they were facing. Right? And so if we read this passage in this way, it says in Jeremiah 29:11, again, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And there's something that jumps out in this passage is that God is a promise keeper. Who else keeps promises over 70 years? God knows everything. God is not out to harm you. God wants to help you. God has plans for you. And with God, our future is filled with hope. All of a sudden, that promise takes on such a broader meaning in what will this next week look like, or just often future tense, which we take this passage. Now it's about God knowing everything and God being there for us, his presence being there, God not harming us, God wanting to help us, and what that actually looks like. And we go beyond this and focus on promises that are repeated elsewhere in the Bible. This is a good start for as we look at what promises look like. We have taking a look at context. We have understanding who it's going to. We have focusing on promises that are repeated elsewhere in the Bible. One way to know if a promise of God is universal is to find the same promise in other places. For example, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 says, As I am with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, which says, I will never leave you, never will I forsake you. This is God restating a promise from the Old Testament to the church, to the Christ followers. And all of a sudden, we see there is more and more of a foundation for the promise of God's presence in our lives and God never leaving us during the most critical moments. Again, I'm so excited as we take a look at all of the individual promises. But we have to know how to approach them so that we don't get caught up reading what we want into the promises of God rather than God speaking his promises into our lives. Because one of those will come true, we know for certain, and the other one is sometimes a pipe dream for us. Let me continue with some of these other things that we need to do. Is we need to be willing to accept all of God's promises, not just the ones we like. This is a very important one because, again, we often want to read what we want God to do into our lives rather than accept what God is asking us to do. So we can't just take one promise of God and say, okay, I like this one, but I don't like that one. It's not a dinner plate where you get to choose what you want and vote on what you want and leave the vegetables off to the side or whatever you don't want to eat. I mean, we did this at our house. We had a vote on what our garden, our vegetable garden, would look like. And in a decisive vote, I would say, of 3-1, divided down gender lines in our house, we voted that our vegetable garden should not have any vegetables in it or be a vegetable garden, but should have fruit for desserts. And so we've got blueberries and strawberries and raspberries. It's not like that with God's promises. We don't just get to pick and choose what we want and the things that we want and only the best of things that we want. We got to be willing to accept all of them. God promises persecution and suffering and difficulty for the Christ follower in John chapter 16, verse 33. That's probably a promise that we don't really want to accept. We love the promise that God's presence is with us and that he will not harm us and that he will help us. We also have to be willing to understand that God promises that along with being a Christ follower, there is going to be persecution in your lives. There is going to be suffering for the sake of the gospel. And that is the cross that we take up. I hope you're seeing how this is starting to form and mold into this picture of what God promises for us. I think it's important that the ultimate aim of God's promises, that we know the ultimate aim of God's promises are to glorify him. And we need to be careful about demanding that God must do something. We just can't name it and claim it without worshiping the name that is above all names and desiring that he display his honor and glory. Psalm 119, verse 38 says, "Fulfill your promise to your servant so that he may be feared." And I know we've all done this. We've wanted to name it and claim it. We've wanted to. I mean, I think of all the time of the things that I want God to do for me, and I want God to promise, you know, for me that this will happen. When I was in 10th grade, there was this girl I liked. And I remember praying a prayer one night, and bear with me, this is cringeworthy. I remember praying a prayer, "God, if you get her to like me and we go out, I promise I will go to church all the time. I will go to church all the time. If somehow you get this girl that I like to like me, then God, here's the things that I will do for you. I will go to church all of the time." Yes, I know there's it's cringeworthy, but yet what did I do? Right? I said, "God, here are the conditions for a promise that I'm making you." Right? And even worse, I was making conditions for a promise to God of something that I should have already been doing as a Christ follower, which was going to church. But we so often want to do that, don't we? Is speak our own wants into the will of God. That's not how promises work. We don't want to be passive with the promises of God either. If you want to profit from the promises of who God is, we can't be passive in our own lives. We can't just sit back and wait for all of the blessings to come. A lot of God's promises are calls to action. With the Jeremiah 29 passage is, yes, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Or sorry, I should say, he knows the plans he has for you. I was talking about Hebrews 13. But in the Jeremiah 29 passage of God knowing the plans, it was all about them dwelling in the neighborhood. That the action that happened before the promises of God returning the people of Israel, of God having a plan for them. And knowing that he had a plan for them. So it's important for us to realize that a lot of these promises of God are interactive promises where we are required to answer, and it's a call to action as much as it is a promise. And when we talk about the plans God has for us, the first part of Jeremiah 29 is so focused on the fact of look around, see where you dwell right now. Pray for peace. Pray for prosperity of where you are. For God knows the plans he has for you. You can say that for whatever context you are right now. wherever you're living right now. But you got to read the whole thing. Part of this dwelling and this looking around us is really brought this great idea that Pastor Greg brought up, which is a week of encouragement, which we had finished a week past. It was a way to really start us going and a call to action in many ways of how we can encourage others around us, how we can be encouraged ourselves. The promises of God are meant to be encouragement in our lives, but we have to be willing to act on them as well and be willing to share them. If I know that God sent his only son for me to save me from my sins, that's not only a call to action for me to believe in Jesus, but it's a call for me to share this with absolutely everybody. We need to be active, not passive, when it comes to God's promises. And then we need to finally have this hope and hold on to this hope. Sometimes we have to wait a long time for a promise to be fulfilled. It's easy for us to become passive. It's easy for us to lose hope in times. I've said before that winters here are very long up in Saskatchewan. It's golf season. I don't think as much winters are long, but as golf season is short. And yet, there's those moments where it's the middle of January and it's minus 40, and I don't even have to calculate Celsius to Fahrenheit because it's just the same thing at that point. It's minus 40 outside, and I ask myself, is this ever going to end? And one of the promises that I hold on to is that God promises that the seasons will change, and I am so thankful for that. However, I didn't read the fine print. Clearly, it doesn't say how long exact season will be. And so yet I know the seasons will change. There's so many things that we need to hold on to and promises that we don't often focus on in church and in reading our Bibles that are meant to encourage us. And so we want to be able to be encouraged by this. Everything from the seasons changing to God's presence with us, to his peace with us, to the promise of eternal life, to the promise of Jesus coming again. And all these things are sermons that I am just excited to give over the next, over the summer. When we understand all of these things, what promises are, we also understand that God can be counted on. In a world of broken promises, God can be counted on. And I think it's important for us to understand that there are so many passages in the Bible and about God's promises. And you can go through them. If you've got one of those Bibles that has a concordance at the back and you can look up promises, you'll see this long list of the promises of God or covenants of God. It's worth looking into as we start this series of all the different places where God has given us promises or talks about promises. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he has promised. 1 Chronicles 17, 23. And now, Lord, let the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house be established forever. Do as you promised. Nehemiah chapter 9, you have kept your promise because of your righteousness. He has unfailing, Psalm 77, has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? No. Psalm 106, then they believed his promises and sang his praise. This isn't just individual. This is absolutely everybody. And as we looked at the last chapter of Haggai, it was all about the fact that God had promised so many things to Israel and he had always come through for them. So why on earth would Zerubbabel think that God would not come through on his promises now? For us, as we look at all the promises that God has made, we know that he has kept all of his promises. So what stops us from believing that the ones that are so important to us, like eternal life and peace and the presence of God, are somehow not going to become fulfilled? And why aren't we sharing these promises and the history of God's promises with others? This is what this series is about. This is the perfect series for us to just hit that share button and invite somebody to church as we talk about who God is, as we talk about the promises that he's making not just only for us, but for the world as long as they accept him. Those promises are a call to action, and our call to action this week is that we will go out and we'll start sharing about Jesus. Start inviting people to be a part of this great plan that God has for them. For us to dwell where we are. And that's where I want us to be this week. Reflecting a bit on that Jeremiah 29. Knowing that God has plans for us. Even in the chaos of what's going on right now. In a world where things are given then taken away. We're told one thing then have to do another thing. Whatever it is, in a world of promises and statements that are often changing, God's promises will reign true forever. And so with that in mind, that Jeremiah 29, especially all of it in its context, is saying, let's start dwelling. Let's start looking around. And let's start preparing ourselves to share the promises of God that will change people's lives forever. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for this new series. I thank you that we are able to go to you. And God, we have confidence in knowing that what you promise comes true. Your covenants are everlasting. And God, our prayer today is that as we look out over a world that is constantly changing, there is something that is true. There is something that is steady. And God, I pray that we will make our foundations in your promises that you have given to us, knowing that you will answer them, knowing that you will keep them. And God, even in this, we ask for patience. We ask that you soften the hearts of people who we're going to come into contact with. And more than anything, we ask that your name be proclaimed all around us and that lives will change as they come to know who you are and what you did for us. I just pray these things all in your amazing and holy name. Amen. I want to thank you for joining us today. And if you are interested in some of the things that are going on here at Sunrise, I want you to be able to get in contact with us. If you go online to www.sunrise.church, you can sign up for our weekly email that'll say everything that's going on, plus all the updates of the constantly changing relaunch, depending on what local governments, the actions local governments are giving and the directive that they're giving. And so if you're wanting to do that, please go and sign up for that. We'd love to have you do that. And take some time this week. Look around you. Pray for prosperity and pray for peace of where we are. God has some plans. God has some great promises for us. And it's time we start sharing. I'm looking forward to this series. I can't wait to dive into this week after week. But until next week, Sunrise, I'll see you next time.